Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
In this earth right now, there's a kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and there's a kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Holy Spirit that is here in this earth, and we have to make a choice as to who we're going to serve and who we're going to walk with. But the kingdom of God is going to be established in this earth. Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to restore all things. He's going to restore things back to what God originally intended, and one day there's going to be a brand new heaven and there's going to be a brand new earth. I'm here to tell you, for all of us right here, whether we like to admit it or not, and we don't like to look this way, we don't like to look in this direction, but all of us, if Jesus does not come and rapture us out of here prior to this experience, every human being sitting here right now is going by way of the grave. And you've got to be ready to go to that graveyard. And you're preparing today to go to that graveyard. Now, I preached some funerals that I don't know if they was ready or not. And I didn't preach them into heaven. I'm not one of them preachers that does that. I try to preach the crowd into heaven. But if I don't know if they're in there, I don't tell them they're in there. Right. Why? Because I don't want to lead people astray, especially if I knew of the lifestyle that person lived and the reputation they had in the community. Listen, let me just tell you the country way to know it. If you look like the devil, if you smell like the devil, and you act like the devil, you is the devil. That's just all there is to it. That's the bottom line. That's it. You don't have to go looking for some great revelation or read 14 books about it. Amen. If you look like the devil, if you smell like the devil, and you act like the devil, you is the devil. That's all there is to it. Now, if you don't look like him, and you don't act like him, and you don't smell like him, you hadn't been hanging around him, and so you're not the devil. So you can pretty well tell right up front to who is and who's not. But this life here is not the only life. Amen. If Jesus does not come in our lifetime and take us out of here, many of us believe that he's headed in that direction. Yeah, but he can supersede anything I think any day. I know of people that believe that they would be here when the rapture took place, and they got left here and they're in heaven, but they didn't go in the rapture. And so I'm not going to be one unless the Lord shows me that I'm going to be here. I'm not going to get up and declare that. Now, I know Sister Billy Brim, and I know her personally. I consider, as far as I'm concerned, a friend. And I heard her say right out of her own mouth, waving her little white handkerchief, lady preacher, waving it high over her head. She said, "I declare unto you by the written word of God that I will be alive on the planet when the rapture of the church takes place." I jumped up and said, "Glory to God, sister, if you is, I is." I'll tell you that. Because she's got a few more years under her belt. You know, or under her whatever, but then I got you. What I mean? she's over there a little bit. You know, she's not old now. We don't, you know, the closer you get to it, the more you know it's not. Right. But, you know, she's in over there, you know, 70s and whatever else, you know, and I'm here to tell you. And I heard Brother Phil Jackson, Pastor Phil Jackson, you heard the statement he made. He looked around this room that Pastor Harris and I were in. And he was just as serious as Jesus coming today. And this is what he said. And I've never heard him say anything like this. But I had been talking to him about it. Yeah. And asking him about Jesus coming. I'm always asking people when they think Jesus is coming. Ask Pastor Harris. I usually call him and Dr. Becker every now and then, try to get him to give me a date or something, you know, because I just sense he's coming soon. Amen. But I was talking to him about it. I remember he got up in this meeting that we were in. Pastor Harris was sitting there. And he looked around this room. And he said, "Is anybody in here got a terminal disease? In other words, it caused you to die prematurely. Is anybody in here that's got a terminal disease?" And nobody raised their hand. He said, "If you don't have any terminal disease," he said, "you will be alive when the rapture happens." And that's what Pastor Phil Jackson said. And I mean, he's a man that's got a pretty good track record. You know what I mean? And he's been around for quite a few years now. And he sat at the table of Brother Hagin and sat at his feet for years. You know what I mean? Of course, I just thought, well, if he's going to be here, I'm going to be here too. You know what I mean? But to let you know, We need to think soberly today.
Yes.
Because you can get caught up in the rat race of life. You can get caught up in the everyday schedule and appointments, and I got to go here and I got to go there. And before you know it, you're so caught up in the momentum, you get caught up, and it's like floodwaters. You know, when floodwaters, I don't know, have you ever been in any really strong floodwaters or in a river that was moving swiftly, had a real strong current? Well, I have had some experiences with rivers. I grew up on the Chattahoochee River drinking out of a Wiggler cup and a pink worm bait cup. What you do is you pour the worms out because you didn't have a glass to drink out of, and you get the sawdust out and you rinse it out best you can. Then you get down in the river and you drink you a dip or two. You know what I mean? And then you put your worms back in it and go to fishing. Hallelujah. That's right here on the Chattahoochee. Now, I'm not saying you ought to stick your bait cup in the Chattahoochee to now, because ain't no telling what's all in there now. You better watch what you eat out the Chattahoochee. You know what I mean? Glory to God. But that's what we used to do. But I know what waters can do. I remember going on this rafting trip. A bunch of preachers, you know, to Rhema thing one time up there at the Natahala. Is that what they call it? It's the river somewhere up there. And they talked us into going. You know, some of these preachers, they need to get resurrected or something. I don't know. Anyway, they wanted to go on this rafting trip. And we're all out there. And you could get a one-man kayak. Or you could get in this big raft with everybody else. Well, Pastor Phil Jackson, you know, being rebellious as he is, he decided we're going to get a kayak. He said, you're going to get you one. I'm going to get me one. I said, man, we better get in this big boat with these people. I said, I that's a pretty swift river. And I grew up on a river. And I said, that water can get to you. Oh, no, it'd be all right. So we got out there, got to going down this river. It's not the Hala. I'm talking about these swift waters. And then the next thing you know, I'm going along there paddling, you know, and doing all these whippings and dippings and all that stuff. Because Daddy, I was raised with a paddle in my hand. Daddy used to carry his fishing with a bottle in his back pocket. Diaper in the other pocket. That's the way it went. That's the way it was. He just laid you down on the creek bank and changed everything. Put you back up there. You know, there you go. That's the way it went. And Daddy just a country fella, you know. But all of a sudden, I seen Pastor Philip Jackson, this man that had this grandiose idea to get this one-man kayak. All of a sudden, he got in these rapids, and he could not control that thing. And it got sideways with him. And when it turned sideways in rapids, grabbed that thing, it flipped him over. And he's upside down over there. And he's a wrestling and fighting, trying to get out from under that thing. And I'm a hollering, trying to get to him with the big old rafts, can't get to him. So finally, I got over there where he's at. By the time I got there, phoop, he come popping up, and the boat took off down through there. And he lost his kayak, and he's standing there like a drowned rat on the side of the water. He said, my Lord, that'd like to kill me. I like to drown it. I said, I told you before you got this thing, we was fixing to come out here in these swift waters. And so I took my kayak and went woo way down the river, and I finally caught his. And I got his thing and got it and drug it back up through there. You know, that was tough work. So I'm going along, you know, and I'm Mr. Smart Man now. You know, I'm full of pride because I've rescued the senior man of the whole group. You know, and I'm going down through here, and we get down to the last waterfall. And it was one of them, what they call them, class 4 waterfalls, class 5 being the worst you can go through. And all these people were told, they was telling them, you go this way and that way. And I said, oh boy, I'm going to jump this thing, you know. And I went down through there and I did jump. It jumped out over this rapid and the nose went down. And when it did, it just flipped over. And brother, I come out of that thing. I mean, I decided to let them have it. And I come out and I tried to stand up in that swift water. And when I did, I am glad I watched the video because I had never been in such swift water in my lifetime. It almost broke my leg trying to snap it for me standing against that pressure. What they tell you to do immediately, pull your legs up and float out of the situation. But see, I was trying to fight it. You can't fight the current of the river when it's too swift. It will either kill you or either you got to float out of there. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's what I'm talking about in relation to the world. If you get out there in the swift water of the world, you'll get to a place that you think that you can handle it. But you'll get to a place the water will be swifter and rougher and the pressure will be greater than you can stand. And if you try to stand up or get out, it'll kill you. Sometimes you just got to float out of it. Don't get caught up in the world system. Don't get so focused on the things that's going on in this world. Why? Because the things that's going on in this world are not the plan of God. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the kingdom of this world. I'm talking about Satan's kingdom. Don't get caught up on those things. Don't let you be caught in and sucked into everything that's going on. You stay in the Word of God. And you stay in prayer. And if you do, you're going to shut the door to the devil. He's going to have no place in you. Just like Jesus said, he has no place in me. I have nothing in common with the devil. I'm as separated from the devil as I can ever get. And you know what Jesus said one time? He said this boldly. Let me see. I think I got this recorded down here somewhere. Let me go back here and look, make sure this is exactly the scripture that I want to show you. All right, yes, St. John chapter 10, verse number 17. Talking about the devil. Remember, he had nothing in common with him. There's nothing in me that he can get a hold to. There's nothing he can get a lay a claim to. Listen, you can live your life. I can live my life, easily live my life where Satan has no claim over me. Satan has no right over me. I can shut the door to the devil and every snare he's got, and he'll have no right to come against me in my life and cause me to be a failure. If I shut the door, walk in line with God's word. It says in St. John chapter 10, verse 17, this is what Jesus said. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Look at verse 18. It says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, or I have the authority to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In other words, we thought the devil killed Jesus. No, the devil could not kill Jesus against his will. Jesus could have done what he wanted to. He said, if I wanted to, he said, I could call for how many legions of angels? 12 legions of angels. And I believe my Bible says that's about 80,000. 80,000. He said, if I wanted to, because remember I think they said Peter cut one of the guy's ears off, you know, and Jesus said, put your sword up. He said, this is necessary for this to happen and take place. And if I needed some help, I could call on my Father right now, and he would send me 12 legions of angels, which would be, according to their mathematics in my Bible, 80,000 different angels to come and help him. Do you think that 80,000 angels could whoop some folks? I'm here to tell you, 80,000 angels, it wouldn't take but one fella come down and flop somebody upside the head, and it'd have been over with. But Jesus knew it was a plan of God. No man took Jesus' life. The Romans did not take Jesus' life. Pilate did not take Jesus' life. Caiaphas did not take Jesus' life. The Jews did not take Jesus' life. Jesus laid it down. He gave it for them, even though he knew they would be the ones to kill him. He loved them anyway. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the question we ask is, why couldn't man kill him? Why couldn't the devil kill him? Because he had no place in him. There was no claim. There was nothing out of ordinary in his life away from the Word of God that he should be. He lived his life dictated and governed by what the Word of God said. And because he did, it absolutely drew a line to the devil, and the devil cannot cross it. You can do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I'd like to tell you that I've been 100% perfect in that, but I'd be lying to you. But I'm working on it. You know what I mean? And I'm walking in the mercy and grace of God, and I'm headed in that direction. But I'm here to tell you, you can move over. You can make adjustments. Sometimes just minor adjustments will bring big changes in your life. Sometimes, you know, we're looking for this great thing to do, and God's just trying to get us just to do a little bitty thing. Just show us, just make this minor adjustment, and it's going to bring a big change in your life. Just a little bitty something, maybe an attitude adjustment. Maybe a harboring ill feelings to get somebody adjustment. This may be a little bitty thing, and God wants you to do that. But we're wanting God to do it.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.